Psalm 150. And he says, "Praise ye the Lord." Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psaltery and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Now, of course, we've been looking for a few weeks at these praise psalms. And the word praise, I don't know if I had mentioned this or not, but the word praise is hallel. And, of course, that's the word, praise ye the Lord, or praise the Lord, is the term that we use, hallelujah, because it's hallel, praise to Jah, which the word Jah is the Hebrew form of Jehovah, and that is generally in the King James Version translated to the English with the capital letters, L-O-R-D, Lord. So Jah and Lord, or Jehovah and Lord, which is the same. And he says, praise ye the Lord. Now the word praise means clear. I mean, that's the literal meaning of the word. It means clear. But it means to vociferously and foolishly declare the praise of God. That's what the word praise means. It means to be foolish. Now we understand that there's a foolishness in the flesh, and he's not telling us to be foolish in the flesh. Now there's plenty of foolishness in the world today that goes under the name of worshiping God. I mean, you know, everybody and his brother comes up with some new and exciting way that they say is, this is, we're going to praise God. And most of it is foolishness in the flesh. But there is a foolishness in praise. It's foolish to the world. I mean, the world has no desire to praise God. And so whatever you do in praise to God, it would be foolish to them. Now, some things are indeed, as we said, foolish. But there is a foolishness in the praise of God, and we see that. We've used this illustration before in David, when he danced before the Lord as the Ark of the Covenant was being brought back to Jerusalem. And his wife looked out the window, and she said, "Well, you're a fool." And he said, "I hope that I am." He said, "Let me be a fool for Christ's sake." Paul said the same thing. We want to be fools for Christ's sake. We want to praise Him foolishly. We want to be such a people that when the world looks at us, they say, those people are nuts. That's all they're interested in. I mean, the world likes a little religion. I mean, the natural man, he likes coming to church because it kind of lifts a load off his mind, and he kind of thinks, well, you know, I've met my requirement for the week. I maybe my kept the Sabbath or whatever. You know, he says such things as that. That's how he thinks about it. But he has the natural man considers that a man who is overtaken with a desire to praise God, they kind of think, well, he's kind of foolish. And he is in the eyes of the world. But you see, that man who is filled with a desire to praise God is no fool, though he might act foolishly. And also means to act clamorously. That is, you know, with a loud noise. Praise doesn't necessarily have to have a loud noise, but the word praise that's used here means a loud noise. And, of course, as you read this psalm and you see all the things that he says there, praise him with the sound of the trumpet, the psaltery, the harp, the stringed instruments, the organs, the loud cymbals, praise upon the high sounding cymbals. I mean, that's a noise. And there's a shout that goes up to God. Now, because somebody shouts doesn't mean that they're praising God, but when a man is moved by the Spirit of God, he might shout. You know, have you ever felt like just hollering at the top of your lungs, praise God from whom all blessings flow? I mean, you see, that's the movement. Quite often I think that we in our staid ways, we kind of repress those things. Now, I'm not saying that you need necessarily to do that, but I'm saying at the same time, why should we be repressed if indeed our desire is to praise God? And so we looked at a passage of Scripture when we were out in Batesville, and it says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Now, some people have taken that to mean there's liberty to do whatever your flesh desires to do. Well, that's not at all what it is, but there is liberty in the Spirit of God. And that's something of what I believe Paul's saying when he said, quench not the Spirit, despise not prophesying. Because, you see, there is oftentimes in our flesh a kind of, we look around and we wonder, well, whether or not, you know, how somebody going to think of us. Well, we don't need to be thinking about how people are thinking of us when we are considering praising the Lord, because He's worthy of all praise. So it says, praise ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary, in His sanctuary. Now, the sanctuary, this is a holy, that word means holy place. Now, God is in a holy place. The sanctuary of God is that place where He dwells, to which no man can approach. Now, that's what the Scripture says. It says He dwells in the light, to which no man can approach. He's immortal. He's invisible. He's the only wise God. The Scripture says that He inhabiteth eternity. Now, eternity is only inhabited by God. You will never inhabit eternity. You cannot, because you're a finite creature. And so you had a beginning, and you cannot inhabit eternity. You can have eternal life by the gift of God. He does give to men eternal life, and we shall dwell with Him unto everlasting. But you see, God alone is that one who inhabiteth eternity. That is the place whence He is, because He has no beginning and He has no end. Now, that some might say, well, I can't even comprehend that. Well, you're right. See, that's what it means for God to be inapproachable, is that you cannot comprehend Him. If you can figure God out, then He's not God. Because, you see, God is beyond the scope of man's imagination or beyond the scope of his understanding. The only thing we know about God is what He has revealed to us of Himself. And He has revealed to us some glorious things. He has revealed that it is His purpose to redeem sinners. And that's a glorious thing. He has revealed to us His goodness. And that's a glorious thing. But he says, praise God in His sanctuary. That is, praise Him as God. Now, a lot of people praise God because He did something good for them. They say, you know, something good happens. They say, praise God. Well, that's not what David's saying here. He didn't say, praise God when good things happen. He said, praise God in His sanctuary. That is, praise God for being God. Praise God because He does all things well, whether I like it or not. Praise Him where He is, as that one who's high and lifted up, whose train fills the temple. That one to whom the heaven, before whom the heavens and the earth shall flee away. We were told somebody had that was a little more into astronomy and things, had been doing some reading. This is a conversation we had out in Arkansas. And they had said they came across they've discovered some planet somewhere that is like 10,000 times bigger than the sun. Now, how they know all this stuff, I don't know, but they got ways, I suppose, they can measure stuff like that. But anyway, they discovered this planet that's 10,000 times larger than our sun. Now, our sun is, I don't know how many thousand times larger than the Earth. But you pause and think about the immensity of a planet 10,000 times bigger than the sun. And then pause and remember what David said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" And keep in mind that this is just one planet out of billions that are out there. And so praise God in His sanctuary, because you see the one who's in His sanctuary is the one who made all this stuff here in 6 days. I mean, everything you can see or think about, the Lord made in 6 days. And what is man that thou art mindful of him? Praise him in his sanctuary, where he is high and lifted up. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Now, the firmament, of course, Brother Al brought that word to us over there in the study of Genesis. The firmament, it literally means a plane or a space. And there is a plane or a space where the Lord has seen fit to manifest His power. Now, we don't know other places He may have manifested His power. We don't know, because those things that are revealed belong to men. The things that are secret belong to God. Now, some people talk about this creation here as though it's the only creation of God. I don't know that. Now, I don't know that there is another one, but I know what God has revealed to us in concerning this creation. That's the only one we can be concerned with. And this is the firmament of His power. You see, that which He has revealed unto men, the outworking of His power, as He has set it forth in the earth, as He has manifested His power time and time again. And we are to praise Him for His power. I mean, whenever a tragic situation as we see it, say a tsunami comes and destroys thousands of people. Now, we're not to be callous in considering the loss of life and the sadness that comes along with that. But, dear brethren, we're to praise Him for the display of His power. Because there's nothing that can transpire in the world that does not transpire according to the ordained purpose of Almighty God. And so whether it's a tornado that comes and sweeps through and destroys something, that's just a little momentary thing. And it's just a small thing. You remember when, I believe it was Elijah, might have been Elisha, I always get this messed up in my mind, but anyway, one of them, went up and the Lord came in a whirlwind. And it said that the wind was so strong that it rent the rocks. Now that's a strong wind there when it blows rocks apart, isn't it? I mean, when it splits rocks. And there came a fire. And it says when the whirlwind came and the Lord wasn't in the whirlwind, it says. And what it means by that is that the Lord wasn't demonstrating His power in the whirlwind. But it overwhelmed the prophet. And then a fire came. It said it just burnt up everything within its place. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. But then He spoke in a still, small voice. And that was the Lord. Now, you see, the Lord's power is not just in all the things that we see, but the Lord's power is in that still small voice that comes to a man who's dead in trespasses and sins and speaks in his ear and shows him what he is and teaches him who Christ is. Because you see, that is the power of God. It's not the power of men. I mean, who maketh thee to differ from another? It is the gift of God. That we should believe, that we should embrace the things of God, that we should have the privilege to gather together with God's people. It's the power of God. And we're to praise Him in the firmament of His power, the display of it, the mighty expanse of that power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Now, we look at the things that God has done down through time, and we see the ones that are recorded for us. Now, this is kind of like, I mean, the Bible is the thing that God would see fit to reveal to us. But just like John said concerning the acts of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said that I tell you, if we were to record everything that he did, even all the books in all the world could not contain the things that he did. Now, if that's what he did when he was upon the earth and he did many mighty acts, think of the mighty acts that he has performed since the beginning of time. Think of the mighty acts that he performed in civilizations that never knew his name. You know, you think of all these millions and billions of people that's lived in the earth that never had the privilege of knowing who he is, and yet his mighty acts have transpired even there. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Now, you see, that's the thing that when we pause and consider the Lord and the mercies of his hand, the excellent greatness of the Lord, that overwhelms us. When we think that of all things that God is capable of doing, the thing that he has shown us that he has done is come to sinners who know themselves to be lost in sin and delivered them from it. What a good and gracious God he is. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. I mean, the fabulous consideration of how great he is. How do we look at men like George Washington and we say, well, these were great men. No, they weren't great men. They were men. They did some good things, but they weren't great. Because, you see, there's one that's great, and he is the Lord. I mean, his greatness is that which we're concerned with and not that which is accomplished by men who claim to be great or even who other men claim to be great. And then he says, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Now, I'm not exactly sure that this word that's translated trumpet here is a trumpet like we understand it, like Al Hurt played or Phil Driscoll or somebody like that. But it probably is a horn of some kind. And he said, praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Then he said, praise him with the psaltery. Now again, I'm not sure what a psaltery is. I've got some conflicting information as I've looked at these things as to what a psaltery was. Some people think it was a bagpipe because the word literally means a skin. I mean, if you just translate the word, it means a skin. And so some people think maybe it was a bag, you know, a skin, like bagpipes, I guess, originally were made with skin. I don't know if they still are, but I don't know anything about that. But he said, praise him with the psaltery. Some people say that it's like a lyre or a lute, a stringed instrument, says, and harp, the psaltery and harp. Now, we know what a harp is, but again, a harp can be many things. Some people call a harmonica a harp. But normally we think of a harp as a stringed instrument. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. The timbrel is probably a tambourine. And the dance, we talked about that last week. Praise him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Now, what is he saying? Is he saying we need to get an orchestra together? Now, if he gives us the ability to do that, and he moves us in our doing of it to magnify His name, that's what He's saying to do. But what He's really saying here is, praise Him with everything that you have. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Because He is the Lord. What would we hold back from Him? And so we give Him such things as we have. And as we said last week, you know, praise must begin in the heart. And when praise begins in the heart, when it's moved by the Spirit of God, then those external manifestations of it are the product of the Lord. I mean, whatever it is that the Lord would stir us to do. Now, that doesn't mean we can go out here and just figure out something to do. But it means if the Lord is in the matter, then true praise is going to come forth. And you certainly cannot say that a man cannot praise the Lord with these instruments of music. It certainly can be. Now, I would say this, it probably seldom is that, because a lot of times when somebody's playing an instrument, what they're really thinking about is how good everybody thinks I sound playing the instrument. Now, that's like a preacher when he stands up, if he only by the grace of God is this prevented, he's thinking, well, you know, how amazing I sound to all these people. I mean, that's the way of the flesh, is it not? But oh, the Lord's to be praised with whatever we have. And knowing that we are sinful people, and knowing that these instruments are designed by sinful men, yet the Lord says, even with those things would I bring forth praise unto my name. So we're tainted with sin from head to foot. May our praise unto Him be that which is comes forth with all that we have. Basically, what I believe He's saying here was, whatever your hand findeth to do, do it with all your might unto the Lord. Whether it's playing a trumpet, or whether it's beating on a cymbal, or whether it's blowing, playing on a guitar, or playing on a harp, or whatever you're doing, playing a tambourine, playing the drums, or whatever it is. He said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now that covers a lot, doesn't it? He said, let the dogs and cats praise Him. Everything that hath breath. Now He didn't say anything about the trees, but there's a passage over in, I believe it's in Isaiah, might be in Jeremiah, where it says, and the trees of the field shall clap their hands. So all the creation is going to render praise unto the Lord. Now, whether that means they're going to literally praise Him in some outward fashion, or whether or not it's just that the creation itself, because it is what it is, brings praise to the Lord. But He says here, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Now, you can't teach a dog to praise the Lord, can you? But the Lord can teach him to praise Him. And, you know, I've thought about this before. You know, some dogs will howl at the moon. And I believe that's the Lord is bringing forth praise. I mean, He sees that moon. He doesn't know anything about what the moon is. But the Lord moves him to praise. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. I remember in one of John Bunyan's books for children, he talks about how that the chicken, whenever he drinks water, he always lifts up his eyes to heaven. And if you ever say, and every time since I read that, every time I see an old chicken drinking water, I think about that, because they don't have a swallowing mechanism, so they have to hold their head back to let the water run down their throat. But he said every time they do, they look to the heavens and they give thanks. Now, God ordained such things as that in His creation to manifest that it is His creation. And He can move the cows of the field to low unto him. He can cause the dogs to bark and the cats to meow and all of those things, you know, because it pleases him that his creation, he's pleased in his creation. He said it's good. This is not an evil creation. It's evil because there's evil in the world because man has brought the curse of sin upon it. And the earth is cursed. It's brought forth thorns and brambles and all of those things. And the bugs come and eat the crops and all of that. Why is that? It's because of sin. But you see, everything that God has created, he said it is good. And even as Al said, as he pointed out to us there this morning, he said it's very good. The Lord's pleased with his creation. He's pleased with all things in his creation. There's nothing in his creation. Even in this sense, he's pleased with the devil when it says, "Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord." Does the devil have breath? I don't know if angels breathe or not, but I mean, when those demons went into those swine, I mean, the swine was breathing. But I'm telling you, all those things bring praise to the Lord. Because you see, the Lord has designed all things for his own benefit, for his own purpose. The fact that he would be mindful of us and that he would bless us is an amazing thing. Because what have we done? I mean, it's easy to think about this when you think about an old dog out here. And you say, well, why is the Lord even having a dog out here? I mean, what's the purpose of an old mangy dog that walks around and he doesn't do anything good? He turns the garbage can over and he's just a pest. Well, what is the purpose of that? Well, turn that around. What's the purpose of man? Because how much less or not any more does man do in and of himself that is a glory unto God? But yet men, in their pride, they say, well, you know, we're better than them. Well, we are in the sense that God created man in his own image. We are indeed in that sense that he has been more mindful of us in the work of redemption than he has the dogs and the cats and the angels and all of that. But yet, what have we ever brought to him that is of any value that he would say, well, I can't do without them? No, the Lord doesn't need us at all. But he's blessed us. And how much more should all creation, whatever it is, praise the Lord? Now, like I said, you can't teach a dog to praise the Lord. You can't teach a man to praise the Lord. You can tell him that he should, but you can't teach him how. Because you see, only the Lord can teach a man how to praise him. Because only the Lord can cause a man to praise him. Because praise is a work of God in the heart. And it is that which stirs within a man that he says, I want to give glory to him because he's worthy of praise. Because his mercy has been shadowed over me from the day that I first drew breath. And he has guided my steps and marked out my path to bring me to the place where I am. And if he does that, he will bring me to the place that he'd have me to be. And as Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And how can we do anything less than praise such a one who is so great, so full of mercy and kindness, that he would create a world in which he would manifest the glory of his grace and the saving of sinners. It's beyond comprehension. It's not a thing we can even imagine. Why should he do it? And yet he has. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. And then he closes this out. And he says, praise ye the Lord. Because you know it's one thing when you think about, well, these people ought to be praising God. You know, I wish they was all praising God. Well, You can't be worried about them. See, you can't make one man on earth praise the Lord. But he didn't say, cause these people to praise the Lord. He didn't say make other people. He didn't say lament the fact that some people don't praise the Lord. He said, praise ye the Lord. And may the Lord be pleased to give us such a mind and heart. Fill our hearts and our minds with rejoicing and praise unto His name, that we might be fools for Christ's sake, that men might see us and say, I don't want nothing to do with them. See, you know, in the early church, of course, people got this thing kind of messed up there. In the early days of the church, I believe it was right after the death of Ananias and Sapphira, that it says, and no man durst join himself to them. They were afraid. They said, we don't want nothing to do with them. Well, may it be that the Lord would give us a word of praise, so much that we would be awed in the earth. Peculiar people. He said we were. May He give us such a mind and heart that our praise to Him might be ever known.